The day after we spoke last fortnight ago was the day that the federal budget was handed down, and generally speaking, I think Tasmania did pretty well out of it. We understand, I think we all get it, that we had to go into record debt levels to make sure the economy recovers from the pandemic. And when you look at the commentary around the budget after it, I think the only critical thing that the opposition could say about was that, well, we had record levels of debt, but we all understood why, didn't we?
Well, we're going through one of those once-in-a-century type circumstances right now with COVID-19. I think it would have been a much, much worse budget had we not been providing the support that we needed to people in the community to get back into work, which was a clear focus of the budget, particularly young people, but also supporting providing the levels of support right across the economy and community for those that really needed it because of COVID-19. And there is significant levels of debt, but that's to ensure that Australians have the levels of support that they need. And I think appropriately, it was done very carefully. I can say to you, having participated pretty intensely in some elements of the budget process, but it was a necessary thing. And if you look back over periods of time, governments of all persuasions have put support into the economy and into the community at times when it was needed, and I think appropriately, and that's exactly what we did last week.
You mentioned areas that you're involved with. You're the Minister for Youth and Sport. You're also the Minister for Aged Care, and those were two areas that got a fair bit of attention in the budget. And you mentioned just a minute ago, young people, you know, how important it is to get them back into work, because a lot of them would have lost their jobs during the pandemic. And, of course, the future for them is not as bright as it was 12 months ago.
Well, look, it's very difficult, and we know that younger Australians have been disproportionately affected by the economic circumstances brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic. We quite unashamedly were looking to support them back into work, to maintain connections with education if that's what they wanted, and to stay in a job if they had one. So apprenticeships, for example, providing support for up to 100,000 new apprenticeships. And I started off as a tradie. I know what a great start to a working career it can be, and I'd advocate it for anybody. So supporting young people into a job so that younger Australians are going to make a significant contribution to repaying or managing the debt that we're dealing with right now. So making sure that they have the best start in life or maintain the connections that they need is important, because we know that if they don't, they could spend a lifetime being more disadvantaged. So I think very appropriately we focused in that area, and it was unashamedly a budget about getting the economy moving again, getting people back into work, and recreating opportunities for business to employ people, but get up and going again as we hopefully come out of the COVID-19 pandemic.
On the other end of the scale, of course, we have the aged care system. We know there's a Royal Commission going on. I think the government's adopted pretty well all of the interim recommendations. Since then, there's been a special focus on what happened during the pandemic in New South Wales and Victoria in particular. And again, I think the government have said they're going to at least implement nearly all of the recommendations that are there as well. And obviously, that takes a bit of funding, and that's been promised in the budget too.
Well, the COVID-19 report from the Royal Commission, there were six recommendations, and the government's accepting all of those. And we've put a lot of money, significant amount of funding, into the aged care sector to help manage with COVID-19. In fact, over $1.6 billion. That's an enormous amount of money. There's been two rounds of payments going directly to aged care providers, $205 million in May, and another $217.5 million, which will arrive in aged care providers' bank accounts this month. So over $450 million going directly to providers to assist them with the costs of COVID-19, to do things like facilitate visitation, ensure that they have infection control officers on site, all of those sorts of things that we expect for the provision of good care, but also to support the sector. And support the provision of managing the COVID-19 pandemic. But the budget's gone a long way further than that. The largest ever injection of home care packages into the budget this year, 23,000 new packages, which will be delivered this financial year, along with 6,105 that were announced, were released in July. So that's nearly 30,000 new home care packages which will be in the market this financial year, which is a significant injection. The waiting
That was needed too, because the waiting list was getting a bit ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, the waiting list was long. The waiting list has actually reduced for the first time in between March last year and March this year. It had a 20% reduction in the number of people on the waiting list, and so this additional 30,000 or almost 30,000 packages this financial year will make a significant dent in that. And of course, by the time we get to next year's budget, we'll have the report of the Royal Commission, which you mentioned a moment ago, which will contemplate reform of the delivery of home care, the home care system, and so we will have another very big aged care budget next year in responding to the Royal Commission's recommendations, which are due in February.
Home care is one thing, but also a lot of people are, they're unpaid carers. We know a lot of people do what they have to. They step up for their family and their loved ones. And, I mean, that was appropriate to acknowledge that last week, being National Carers Week as well. And I was quite staggered when I read that there's over 2.5 million carers that are unpaid carers in Australia. That's a lot of people.
Look, they are, and they make a huge contribution. And they do it because they love their family members, they're supporting their family members, and that they put a lot of time and effort into providing that support at home, looking after them. A lot of them, it's a family member or a friend even. And so a number of measures that we talked about last week, which to look after the particularly the mental health during COVID, we know that a lot of people have been very distressed about the circumstances around COVID-19, making sure that they're all okay, provide support for mental health, some information and resources around managing COVID-19, and supporting some of the critical phone and online support services that are provided for them as part of our broader mental health and wellbeing process, but also to manage the pandemic response plan.
Yeah, and some of those new home care package places that you mentioned will supplement the work that's done by unpaid carers as well, so it assists them greatly. Also, last week was, I think, National Nutrition Week, and you've made the point of saying that as you get older, you tend to care less about your nutrition, and really older Australians should be having a healthy diet. And you've made the point that Meals on Wheels is a great way to go because they do actually present a very balanced diet.
Yeah, look, I think it's really worth giving a shout-out to the Meals on Wheels services around the country. They play a crucial role from a number of perspectives. As you say, they do provide a balanced meal to support people who are living at home, not necessarily able to prepare their own meals, and so they do a great job in supporting over 200,000 Australians in nearly 600 locations around the country. But also it's a balanced meal, balanced diet, which is important, but also the personal contact that they provide, which a lot of them volunteers, which goes back to the point that we just made about carers. You've got this group of people are making a huge contribution to the broader community, and recognition of that, I think, is really important.
Yeah, and again, they can supplement the work that's done by unpaid carers. And I guess from all of this, if there's a clear message to unpaid carers, is that there is help out there, and don't be afraid to ask for it.
Well, that's exactly right, particularly if you need a spell, some respite or something of that nature, but also just to deal with some of the mental health issues that you might be seeing or feeling. Do reach out. It's important that you do that. The contribution that you make to the community is recognised, and there are services there to assist you in doing that.
Yep, don't need to do it all on your own. Richard, thanks very much for that today. As always, appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks very much, Martin.